Hello and welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast, the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. I'm your host, Bill Banton. Along with me on this journey back to the 80s, my co-host, Jason Masick. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Bill Bant. I am looking forward and tonight looking backward, as it turns out.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to this special episode with you. How are you doing anyway?
I'm doing well, thank you. Enjoyed a little bit of the break off and very excited to get back to the swing of things.
We're getting back to business.
Yes, we are.
Do it.
All right. So this week we will be looking back on season one and we will give everyone a sneak peek into season two. So Jason and I came up with a bunch of questions to ask one another as we reflect on the season. And then we'll talk a little bit about season two. We're very excited about it.
Hell yeah.
Woo! Just thanks for everyone's support through season one. Sorry, we had to take a little hiatus, but you know, with the holidays and just trying to get back in the swing of things and just plan and stuff like that.
That's right. We're going to be back bigger, badder, and better than ever.
There we go. All right. I'm going to start with our questions.
Let's do it.
All right. So question one, Jason, what was your favorite episode of season one?
My favorite episode of season one of the All 80s Movies Podcast is Big Trouble in Little China, 1986. That's my choice, man. That was our fifth episode. And I tell you what, this was tough. I've got a lot of favorite episodes, to be honest. I went down the list and I was like, there were so many different moments from different pods that just came back to me and it made me smile. And it just made me realize how much I've enjoyed this journey with you thus far, Bill Bant. But Big Trouble in Little China, there was something about the weird fun energy of the film that really got me going. When I rewatched it, there was just something about it. The film looked great in HD on the big screen TV. When Carpenter's theme kicks in at the start, I mean, it really got me going. It reinvigorated me, my love for all things 80s movies. And I mentioned this was only our fifth episode or fifth podcast. So after listening back to the podcast, because I always listen to it to kind of study what we've done and see where we can improve and things like that. I felt like listening back to this particular pod that we were really starting to get our rhythm. It was a tight episode with some great laughs. And I was like, afterward, I was like, okay, we're starting to feel this. We're starting to develop our rapport. And you and I have talked about this offline where you and I, you know, kind of came up with this concept. I have to give you more credit than myself, but you and I would always have our table discussions, whether it be over a meal or just sitting around and talking about movies. And it was like, why don't we do this on a podcast? Because we are truly passionate about 80s films, but it's different once you hit the record button. Things change and we had to figure out some things and work out the kinks, et cetera. And I felt like on this podcast, listening back to it, was like, okay, this is fun. And it kind of coincided with the fun of this particular movie, Big Trouble in Little China. I mean, you got Jack Burton, Wang, Egg Shen, David Lopan, Gracie Law, Miao Yen, and let's not forget Eddie Lee. I mean, I was feeling like Jack Burton in the elevator with Wang and the Chang Sing.
Oh, yeah.
When he's like, I feel pretty good and I'm not scared at all. Feel kind of invincible. This movie is just a quirky cross-genre strange brew and it works like magic, like the magic in the film itself. And as you pointed out, I remember this, Bill Bant, on the actual pod, Jack Burton is technically the sidekick in this movie. It's really Wang that's doing all the ass kicking, which is great. Like if you really watch the movie thinking, like doing a reversal, because you think Kurt Russell, who's an absolute stud in this, as Jack Burton, is, you know, our lead protagonist, but it's really Wang that's the hero. Jack Burton doesn't really do much except wisecracking the whole time. So I think it definitely hit me while watching this movie for this podcast back when and back then that doing this podcast isn't work at all, my friend. It's just a real pleasure. So Big Trouble in Little China is my favorite episode thus far.
Wow. That's a good one. I like that. I like how it all coincides. That's a good call. It's a good call. It is a fun one and a fun movie. Mine is, surprising enough, was Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. All right.
Because, you know, we did in July our summer at the cinema theme, and we were trying to do all movies that took place during the summer, and we picked Dirty Dancing, and I got really nervous about it.
I remember. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not really a big fan of that movie. It's really cheeseball. I really don't want to do a show where I bust on it for 90 minutes. Am I going to have enough to talk about? And watching the movie again, more with trying to prepare for the show, I couldn't believe all the information I was coming up with and seeing, sure. And then really seeing for the first time why people love this movie and not just like, oh, it's a chick flick and yada, yada, yada. I don't really want to watch it. And that ended up being one of our longest shows. I mean, we talked about that one forever.
That recording was a long one.
That was close to 3 hours, and we cut it down to 2. And even recording, I'm like, wow, this really works. See, for you, it took episode 5. Me, it took until the summer where I finally felt comfortable enough. Oh, okay. I think this show is finally working. I think I get it. I know what we need to do in order to make it work, and just getting the rapport.
We had to find a groove, man.
Yeah. I mean, we've known each other for a really long time.
Right.
And then just trying to work this out the whole time and just figure out our nuances among one another. And I don't know, that one, I was really just happy with, because I didn't know what to expect. And I think it was one of the few episodes. I mean, granted, I have to go listen to it anyway to edit, but I think it was the first time I could actually listen to the episode after it was done. Like my wife will usually listen to them later. Gotcha. And I'm always like, I got to leave the room. I can't listen to myself again. I mean, I'm doing it just to make sure the show goes out. But that was the first time I'm like, oh, you know what? I can actually listen to myself talk about the show. And then I was like, oh, okay. You know what?
You could actually tolerate yourself.
Yeah. I can actually tolerate myself for once. I don't know how the audience does it, but I was able to do it. So yeah, Dirty Dance is my pick. That's my favorite.
I think that it's the most is outstanding. I think that's great. You made a lot of really good points. That I recall now, just letting the listeners in kind of a little BTS here behind the scenes, which is really fun, just to kind of let you in on what Bill and I are thinking when we do these podcasts and a little bit of how it all works. But usually Bill and I, when you know we stop recording, immediately we give our instant reactions as to how we felt about that recording, how we felt that podcast went. And I recall after Dirty Dancing going, that was good. I feel really good about that. You just know it. It's a feeling where it's like, yeah, we covered all the bases. We made some great points. There's a lot of variety within it, and it flowed that you and I had good chemistry during the recording, and some funny things popped up that we didn't expect, or made new discoveries within the podcast. So, you know, I definitely recall Dirty Dancing was a really solid one. Like you said, it went, you know, we just kept going and it didn't feel like it was that long, as I recall. We always kind of keep one eye on the clock, but when it was over, I don't recall feeling tired.
No.
In the way I have with others for whatever reason. And for the listeners out there thus far, Bill and I do record during the late evening hours. That's the time we have. And where we don't have any other commitments. I mean, it's just our free time where our schedules work out, where Bill and I are able to get together and do this. So sometimes we get a little tired, not enough caffeine. It's been a long day, et cetera. But Dirty Dancing, we had a lot of energy for that one.
Yeah, because usually our goal is try to keep the episodes between like 90 and an hour and 45.
It's so funny.
You know, when I looked at it, I was like, holy crap, it's almost 3 hours long. I got a lot to cut out.
Yeah. You know, you do have that thankless job of doing the editing. And, you know, it just reminded me of just a brief story here. My sister, brother-in-law, niece, and nephew were driving somewhere on vacation recently. And it took a little while. So they decided to listen to one of our pods. I believe it was Spaceballs, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Something a little more appropriate for the kids, too. But I think it was either my nephew or brother-in-law that said, wow, yeah, you guys, that was a lot. Like it, we listened to you for the entire car ride. That was a long one. I was like, yeah, sometimes they could go a little long. You kind of have to stick with us. Some are longer than others, but yes, you are correct. We do try to keep it to around an hour and a half on average, around 90 minutes, but some of them just need more time. Some of the films need a little more TLC, you know?
Yeah. And even at 2 hours, the numbers showed that people want to listen. I mean, that's what a lot of stuff you read is like, don't worry about the time. As long as the episode works, you know, people are going to listen to it if they're interested in it and stuff. So that, I think that kind of helped prove that point too, because that's really when the show, the numbers like skyrocketed that month.
Right.
With Summer School, for some reason, just went through the roof. And then everything after that, it's like our numbers tripled for some reason that month. And I got a little nervous because I was like, oh, this is going to be a 2 hour show. Are people going to hang on? And they still did. So it's like, okay, we're doing something right. As long as the content's good, doesn't matter how long it is, but you know, we're not going to abuse that and do 7 hour shows or anything. But
Right. You know, there is a limit, mm-hmm. but I also believe that what we've realized is technology today, right? You can come back to it at any point. We know that, I know as an avid fan of several podcasts myself, I don't mind the longer ones because it passes the time when I have a long day driving. Also, if I don't finish it, I know I just have more to come back to the next day. It's a matter of taste, really. But we're not going to make them too long.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not one of our goals of season two.
Definitely not.
All right. Should we move on?
Absolutely.
All right. I'll throw it to you, Jason.
Okay. So our next question is, what movie that we covered did you think held up the best from season one?
This was the
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, this was the easiest one. The Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Ah, yeah,
and
sure.
I think I kind of mentioned it in the podcast itself too, where this movie could almost be released today for the first time and people would be totally amazed by it. They would love how they did the special effects. They're like, oh, they did all these practical effects. And most of them really hold up really well. The story is just great. The action is so fun.
I can't argue with you.
Going through all of them, I was like, oh, yeah, this is really the one. I mean, there might be some like minor tweaks to it. But yeah, you could really release this movie for the first time today. And we'd still be getting lines out the door to go see it.
100%. You know, I was mad at myself because when listening back to that particular podcast, which, you know, I just enjoyed because I love this movie so much because it inspired so much of my wanting to be a filmmaker, or be involved in the filmmaking business. I was a little remiss because just mentioning how this film inspired so many action adventure films afterward, even just recently, like on Netflix, you've got Red Notice with Ryan Reynolds and The Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson. And say what you might about that particular film, there's an entire sequence at the end of that movie that's like almost just a blatant ripoff of Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, or any of the Indiana Jones films. And they know that. They are clearly paying some homage there. But there's so many movies like that now that changed how it's done. And I couldn't agree with you more. It's complete, like if that movie was released today, I would be in awe and wonder, as I am still, there's still things about that. Even knowing all that we know about that movie, you can still watch that go, geez, I know how they did it, but how did they do it? Mm-hmm. But really, how did they do it?
Yeah.
It's that good. So that's a great call. Mm-hmm. That's a great call. Did you want to say anything else about Raiders?
No.
That was the only other thing I was remiss about. And I think I mentioned it in my tweet about that. Was the title itself, which I just always fail to focus on, that the title is Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's not like Indiana Jones, Heroes of the Lost Ark. Like he's this hero. They're literally, they're not grave robbers, so to speak, but they are raiding these lost artifacts.
Yeah.
Right. So that I just find interesting because we always think of either he's this archaeologist or he's a professor of archaeology. What was it? Expert on the occult, finder of rare antiquities. But he's a raider, just like Belloc, just like Forrestal before him. You know, it's such a cool title just to think about that aspect of it. So anyway.
Yeah.
So the movie that I thought held up the best, I think that's interesting that you chose the last movie from season one. I'm going with the first movie
from
season one, RoboCop 1987, our inaugural. I knew I was going to screw that up. I can't say it. I cannot say it. Inaugural.
There you go. God. Got it.
Got it on the second try. Man, I couldn't believe how well it looked and how engaged I was throughout the rewatch of RoboCop. Outside of a few clunky special effects, I think this movie is still completely badass. There's a little similarity, I think, there with Raiders, between with RoboCop Raiders, but the, you know, it's just a matter of tweaking some effects. But the look of RoboCop himself, the suit, the sound design, the dystopian future of Detroit City, Peter Weller, freaking Clarence Boddicker, one of the greatest bad guys, with Kurtwood Smith playing him, Ronnie Cox, Miguel Ferrer, sorry, just to name a few of this great actors of this great cast. I mean, RoboCop's Auto 9 gun, the enforcement droid, the ED-209. I mean, you got Rob Bottin and Phil Tippett doing the puppetry and effects. Man, Basil Pallodorus is incredible adrenaline pumping score.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was singing it again. Dun, 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 dun. It's just so awesome. I mean, Peter Weller was 40 when this movie came out, and he looks like he's 27 at most. Dead or Alive, You're Coming With Me. This movie, it just surprised me how well it held up. I think if this movie were released today, people would like it because of Paul Verhoeven's direction and the way that he took it. There's a satire aspect of this in this, with the goofy advertisements and the "I buy that for a dollar," just kind of a vision of the future of where things are going and the technology. It's still, it works for me. I buy it. I would buy it for a dollar. I'd buy it for more than a dollar. So yeah, I just go back to the sound design. Like, I remember saying when we'd recorded the initial pod, is when RoboCop is first, he stands up and he walks into the police precinct, and you see him behind that kind of that, what is it, the glass, but you can't see through it, like the opaque kind of that glass,
the frosted glass. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, that's what I was looking for. And you just hear it's just gives me chills every time, man. So yeah, RoboCop, I think, holds up the best. That's for me.
That is a very good call. When you think about it, because it is kind of a simple story, which would work today, just the way the world is right now, that in a way it's kind of mocking everything that's going on. A little bit, it almost seems like it's a little bit on the nose now, the way things are going right now. But
well, that's the thing with these dystopian future type of movies, right? It did kind of predict a couple of things, and with the technology, and it doesn't. Watching it, it didn't feel super dated. So no. It still felt futuristic for the most part. The sci-fi holds up for me. So
yeah, you would have to, definitely the Ronnie Cox puppet, you'd have to change out. And
right, but he's falling from the
beginning. Yeah, that's the only bad one. And then the EV.
The ED-209. There's the ED-209, a couple of effects that are clunky.
Outside of that, yeah, you wouldn't really have to change that much with that one either. That's a good call.
No, and I think RoboCop 2 was a game changer. Definitely with the ultra violence. We talked about that a lot in the podcast. I thought that movie was inspiring. I remember anticipating it as a kid, and I still love watching it today. And I think it's so much better than the sequels that came after and the reboot that came after that.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember
the original
being really disappointed with the second one, but it's grown on me. But yeah, the first one is in a class by itself.
Yep.
Unfortunately, never be able to recapture that, but I know they keep trying. All right. Let's go to the next question. So which movie that we covered did you dislike?
I love it. Here we go. This is the fun stuff.
Okay. I'm wondering whether this is the same one.
This is where I'm like, oh, Bill Bant's going to try and predict what I'm going to say.
I am.
He's like,
I wish I could write it down and then just show it. Like, I'm going to say.
Okay. All right. Well, this is the one that we covered that I disliked. I'm going with Children of the Corn.
Ding, 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 ding. That's on mine, too. That's mine, too.
Awesome. Bill Bant, ladies and gentlemen, this is simply not a good film.
No.
And what pissed me off the most about this movie was just how stupid our protagonists were or are in this movie. Driving around like idiots and investigating the town where they should have gotten out of Dodge at the first sign of trouble. I mean, I recall there only being one really decent scare in this movie. Isaac is pretty creepy. You got Malachi in there, who's good, I guess, sort of. Outlander.
Yes. Outlanders.
He who walks behind the rose is a cool idea, but a mouthful to say. And again, like a kind of cool concept for an otherworldly biblical end of the world style entity, but the effects completely suck in this movie. The story doesn't make any sense. Yeah, you had a good idea. Like if they had just kind of done a little more backstory with how the kids came to take over the town and the whole living in the cornfield thing, the lore of it, getting a little more into that.
Yeah, I would have. The ending would have been them taking over the town. I would have done it that way.
But this is one of those Stephen King. Was this based on jog my memory here, man? Was it a short story or was it?
Yeah, I think it was originally a magazine article.
Okay. I knew it was. Yeah, it was something. A smaller work of his, but hey, Sarah Connor, Linda Hamilton's in it, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few silver linings.
And then trying to think of something else. And then, because then I did think of another Peter Horton movie. He was in that volleyball movie with Thomas Howell.
Yeah.
I think that was the only thing. Cause all I was just 30 something. Yeah,
Linda Hamilton's in it. And that guy from 30 something.
Yeah.
And the kid, the guy from Can't Buy Me Love. You shit on my house.
Yep.
Courtney Gaines. Shout out Courtney Gaines.
Yes. That movie's just terrible. I don't even know what else to say about it.
It was the first time I saw it too.
Yep. First time for me too. And I think even if I saw it as a kid, I don't think I still would have thought it was good. Or I definitely would have back in the rewatch and been like, why did I like this movie? This movie's just terrible.
I can guarantee you if I saw this as a kid, it probably would have creeped me out a little bit. But because it's so terrible, I would have gotten through it and been like, oh, yeah, that wasn't so bad. And, oh, you know what? I can go around school now and be like, yeah, I saw Children of the Corn. No problem. It was a breeze. Yeah, that's because the movie sucks. It's not scary.
And the fact they made like 10 more of them. I can't believe it. Who's watching these?
It has its cult following.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. So we have the same one.
Yep.
The movie we disliked from season one.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Bant.
Yes.
What was your favorite movie discovery from season one of the All 80s Movies podcast?
I'm going to say we probably have the same one on this one, too.
Because, I had a feeling.
God, I remember watching this and going, oh, man, Jason's going to hate me for making him watch this. And when you sent me that text to say, oh, good God, what did I just watch? And I'm like, oh, shit, we're in trouble.
Hate you or hate Hillary?
No, maybe Hillary. But yeah, the movie we're talking about is Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah!
Which it's the first time, and I still can't think of another movie where I watched like the first 5-10 minutes into it, and I'm like, oh my God, this is a piece of shit. Why am I watching this? And then loved the movie by the end.
Right. That cold open or the opening of the movie is rough.
Yeah.
The first actual scene. The opening credits are cool. And weird, but it's that first scene is rough.
And then I was just amazed by it. And I'm still pissed that COVID's going on, that you haven't been able to come over and watch, so we could watch the rest of these to find out what the hell happens. God,
I can't wait for that marathon.
Yeah.
We'll have a sleepover, sleepaway camp marathon.
Yes.
Yeah, keep going, man.
No, this movie just blew me away. I could not believe it. And I knew the ending and you did not.
Right.
Which was surprising that you did not know, but I mean, Aunt Edna.
How I escaped the spoiler of that ending. I still have no idea.
I really thought it was going to be like, oh, we're going to be ripping this movie for 90 minutes.
Right.
And then it was, now I'm going to have to spend 90 minutes trying to defend this movie to Jason because it's amazing.
Yeah.
And then when you said you loved it as much as I did, that was just a total shock. It was just a total shock. I didn't think we'd be on the same page on that one. Because I know horror movies is not really your thing.
Right.
So the fact that you were so into it too, just made it just more exciting. I mean, yeah, that movie's, it's definitely got some issues, but I couldn't believe how much I loved it.
Absolutely. This is definitely up there with one of my favorite pods we've done because the discovery was so incredible. So you nailed it. Sleepaway Camp, 1983, the first in the series. Hands down was my favorite discovery. I mean, this is going to be my breakdown. This movie is absolutely batshit wild and crazy. Felissa Rose is fantastic. The actress as Angela / Peter.
Yep.
I mean, what the reveal at the end is mind blowing. And speaking of dicks, we get plenty of Ronnie's dick pressing through his holy shit short shorts. We get an absolutely stellar fake mustache on Frank the cop. But the real star here is Desiree Gold as Aunt Martha. Holy Christmas. What movie is she in? Who cares? She's brilliant. She is insane. I mean, because she's so theatrical, right?
Yes.
But it's done with purpose. It feels like, at least once the movie's over, you're like, wait a minute. Was this just the sneaky smart, like the sneakiest, smartest movie I've ever seen? Because it is. It's sneaky smart in its storytelling, and it's extremely off-putting. It's really creepy. Is it dated? Yes, of course. Is the baseball scene overtly homoerotic and three innings too long? 100%. But the ending leaves you frozen with your jaw dropping and hissing just like Angela / Peter.
Yes.
Shout out to Hilary Bant, your wife, a.k.a. program director, for adding this to our... What do we call it? I got our
schedule. Just say our schedule.
But what do we call it during the month of Halloween?
Cinema Slasher Month. Slasher Cinema Month.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, man. This movie was an absolute trip. I loved it. But Aunt Martha is really what stays with me.
Yeah, I can't believe how many times I went back just to watch that scene.
Yeah.
Just because I was just so enamored with it. I just couldn't believe it. I just kept watching. I'm like, because the first time I'm like, what is this woman doing? And then after I watched the movie, I'm like, oh, let me go back and see what this woman did. Let me watch it again.
Right.
Let me watch it again.
I'm just got to keep moving because I'm lost in it now.
Yeah.
Like we could spend another hour just talking.
Yes. All right. Moving on. Okay. Next question. What is something new you learned about your co-hosts during the season?
Hey, man, you know, first, I'm just going to say one thing I already knew about Bill Bant was that he was a consummate professional. I've worked with Bill Bant over the years on film projects way back when at the University of Miami, but then also in more recent years on short films and, ready to work and give it his all. And I've really gotten to see his absolute commitment to something he's truly passionate about, which is this podcast. It's always on display. Beyond that, man, you know what I learned about you is your ability to do impressions. I'm constantly surprised with your impressions. I don't know if I gave you enough credit for how funny you are, Bill. You really are very funny, and you can truly be, you have some just, you shine in certain moments. You just have display pure genius, especially with the impressions. One impression that is one of my favorite. It's not exactly, I'll get to my absolute all-time favorite, but this one I thought of, your impression of substitute teacher Miss Cura from summer school when you did, is that your blood?
Is that your blood?
She sees Denise coming screaming out of the classroom. Absolutely hilarious. Or, of course, Gene Wilder from Stir Crazy. But the best ever of all time in the universe of the world is definitely...
Open your mind.
Hey, man, I was trying to remember, when did that begin? And by the way, we don't do it enough anymore, and we need to bring that back. But did that start with when we did No Way Out and my Hey, It's That Actor was Marshall Bell as Contra number one from that movie? Was it Big Trouble, Little China? Was it that there was like a creature that reminded me of Quato?
Maybe.
And you did it. And because the listeners at home can't see this, but Bill did, because Quato, the creature, not only has the weird voice, but he has like three fingered hands, and he does the three fingers. And you did that on the Zoom, on your Zoom feed, on your screen. And that's what made me laugh so hard, was the combination of you doing the three fingers. And then, anyway, So, Bill, you continue to surprise me in the best ways. And yeah, there was one other thing I was going to say, and now I forgot.
See, the funny thing is most of my impressions are like of characters of people most people don't know. And then I can do a lot of like kids and cartoon ones because my kids are always asking me to do, you know,
right,
like Elmo or Mickey Mouse, Pluto, those kind of ones. And I'm like, oh, we can never really use those on the show. We're not doing any Mickey Mouse movies, but.
Right. And I'm sure I missed it. There's a couple in there I know I missed that you've done that were hilarious, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
yeah. I'll try to throw them out more when I can, but like when just I know it's coming,
high quality stuff,
I get worked up and then I can't do it right. Cause then I'm trying not to laugh and do the voice at the same time. So it's just got to sneak them in there somehow.
Outstanding.
Yeah. It's crazy too. Cause looking back and thinking on this, like I said, we've known each other since college in the early 90s. And I think the thing for me, the most surprising was cause I knew, you know, you did the high school plays and acting and all stuff. I didn't know how committed you were to the whole dancing
thing. Oh, yeah.
I knew nothing about that for some reason. Like, I knew you were a soccer player. Yeah, I knew the soccer and all that. And then the just dancing thing just surprised me how much you were into. Because I didn't even think about it. Like, all the times we ever hung out, with like, I don't think we've ever hung out, like, somewhere where we'd be dancing.
Mm.
Just to see you break out some moves or something. I was like, oh, that would have been so cool. Like, even in college, I don't think we ever went anywhere where it was always just like your
party. Oh, I hated parties. Going to the clubs. Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't a clubber.
Which
was
such a big thing, of course. But it wasn't for me, that scene. It was a very specific scene that I wasn't into.
So just the rhythm and movement.
And Marwan was really the dancer.
Oh, yeah.
Of all of us.
Oh, he was always breaking out wherever we were going.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
bust a move.
So, yeah, that I think that was a surprise because I never saw any kind of aspects of it to know that you did it. And I was like, holy shit. So every time you brought the stories, I was always just like, I still can't believe this. I've known this guy how long? I didn't know anything about this whatsoever.
That's right.
That was like the biggest surprise to me. I don't think anything would top that.
That's funny. You know, I didn't think about actually, that's so funny. I was kind of reading this question differently as in, like, what did I learn about you by doing this podcast, like more from a technical aspect, I think, or present day versus what I've actually learned about Bill Bandt, the person that I didn't know before. And because we've known each other for so long, but because now I think about it, there are certain aspects or things about your history that I wasn't aware of, like, especially like, you know, your schooling at a young age and how you talk about how you missed out on certain experiences, which just kind of depressed me in a way.
Damn Catholic high school.
Yeah, you know, how you're talking about like being in a cafeteria and you always have the same table and things like that. And I was like, and you're like, yeah, we didn't get to do any of that in my high school. Like,
yeah.
That's you were talking about when we did Can't Buy Me Love. I think you were talking about that.
Yeah, that's why I love
your Catholic high school cafeteria, always sitting at the same table with the same people.
Pick that same table first week, and that's where you were for the rest of the year. The same people. So you better not get in a fight with them because you got to sit with them all year long.
Right. So I did learn that about you.
Mm-hmm. No, but with you too, I think it was cool the one time when you called me out on a show. It was just like, hey, dude, you gotta put a little more pep in your step on the show. And that's when I knew it was like,
right. You
were serious about this because you called me out on something. And that was good too, because I needed it. Cause I even kind of know it's like, oh, that wasn't one of my better ones. And then the fact that you pointed it out too, it's like, hey, if you want this to work, and I know this is your thing and you're passionate about it, you know, we all got long days too, but bring it when it comes to these two and a half hours. So I always appreciate that. And I think that helped a lot too, because it's always kept me on my toes too. Cause I always like, you know, usually write notes on my paper, like keep up the energy, enthusiasm, stuff like that. So I always appreciate that you did that. And that's when I knew like you weren't afraid to take not so much interest in the show, but ownership of the show too. It wasn't just Bill thing and you're tagging along. You're like, I want this to work as much as
Bill does.
And I appreciate that. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. You appreciate that. Because that concerned me, because I think you and I, if we can be at fault sometimes by being passive aggressive or just generally nice about things, and we're not hypercritical, nor do we feel we need to be but at sometimes you gotta, you know, we have to find ways to better ourselves and challenge ourselves, and we have to be receptive to constructive criticism, right? So I think that's something we'll continue to work on. And I also know that when you point out something in the nicest human, you know, humanly like possible, or I'm screwed this, nicest possible way, that I will always remember it, and it can only make us better or make me better. Because whether it's the dead air stuff, I have a bad habit of being redundant. I use the same phrase over and over again. I've caught these things over time. That's why I always listen back to the podcasts. I am extremely long-winded. These are things that I got to look out for. So that's something I learned about myself as well, doing this with you, man. So we're just going to remain teachable. This is a learning experience.
Yeah. And just thanks for everyone just to come on the journey with us and enjoying.
That's right. Hey, Bill Bant. Mm-hmm. What episode do you think needs a little more love, maybe some more love from our listeners that we did in season one?
For me, this is an early episode too, because every couple of weeks we get together and decide, you know, hey, what are our next block of episodes going to be? And when we came out with the first couple, one of the ones that we picked was Witness, which is one of my favorites.
It's the same one I chose.
Oh, the same one you chose?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, oh, man, I really love that movie. And I was surprised, too, how many people that I've talked to have told me they've never seen that film.
Right.
And that's why they never listened to the episode. And I was like, Harrison Ford was nominated for an Oscar for this film.
Yeah.
How did you miss this? And I love that movie. It's definitely my third favorite of his. And yeah, that's when I always go back to it and watch every once in a while. And just numbers wise, it did not do well. And I was totally shocked by that. I thought for sure that one would blow up. And it was funny too, because there was another podcast that was doing Witness the same day ours was
right
too.
Right.
And we've become friends since then because of that. So it's great. But I just need Witness needs some love. Go back and give it a listen. I know it's one of our early ones and we're still finding our way through, but if you have not seen the movie, go see the movie and then listen to the show.
Well, it was interesting looking back. Gosh, we did 39 episodes, I think 39 movies, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And there's some movies, you know, that didn't do quite the numbers that some others did. Some we expected to do well, some we didn't, some were surprises, etc. And there are films like Victory or Dragon Slayer, to name a couple that, you know, haven't been quite as popular as others. Kind of expected that, probably especially with Victory or maybe even Dragon Slayer. But I didn't expect those to do so well, nor am I like, do I think those are like these great cinematic achievements? I just have particular attachments and nostalgic connections to those films. And I'm glad we did those for our podcast. With Witness, I wasn't expecting huge numbers or anything, but I think that is truly a great movie. Mm-hmm. And that's why I chose it for this, is because I think, you know, sure, I would love for the numbers to be through the roof, but, you know, it's more about celebrating a really great 80s movie that is just everybody at the top of their craft. This is 1985, right?
Yeah.
And Harrison Ford is at his peak, doing what he does best, bringing that smoldering intensity as Philadelphia Police Detective John Book going into the Amish
country. Yeah.
Amish country. Such great direction by Peter Weir. Australian, right? Isn't he Australian?
Yes.
And great writing, great performances, real chemistry with Harrison Ford and Kelly McGillis. So much about the movie is unspoken that, and that's a lot of the in the direction too. This unspoken love, lust, loss, yearning has one of the best scenes of all time that we covered with Lucas Haas in the police precinct, identifying Danny Glover as the bad guy in the picture.
Yeah.
I mean, that unspoken communication, kind of where there are no words, there's no dialogue, but the look that Harrison Ford and Lucas Haas share in that scene. Brilliant. Wonderfully directed. It's a great story, has an intense finish. So I just really recommend that people watch that movie. Go see Witness. Mm-hmm. Watch it if you haven't already seen it. It's a little bit of a slow burn. It's a dramatic piece, but you know, just it's a great movie.
And it's weird because almost a happy accident came out of that with not getting the numbers, because then we kind of got away from those kind of movies after that and did more mm-hmm. of the summer schools and Night Shift and those kind of films, which, you know, we got a lot of feedback like, oh my God, I remember that movie. That movie was so funny and that kind of thing, and not did a lot of the hardcore drama stuff. Cause I know we every once in a while would talk about doing another traumatic and we're like, maybe you need to wait a little bit longer. So, you know, I think it's good. I mean, we will get to those at some point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to shy away from the niche, like the niche, smaller films, the cult classics, the ones that may not be as popular. We understand. And we also very much love the more lighthearted romantic comedies or summer, films of the 1980s. I mean, that's our bread and butter. Absolutely. The blockbusters. Mm-hmm. But we still have just as strong attachments to every other movie that came out yeah. at whatever time in the 1980s. And Witness is one of those, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, that left an impact on me.
Right.
Seeing Harrison Ford do something besides Han Solo or Indiana Jones was like a revelation to me. It's like, oh, this guy can do it all. Yep. He's a good actor. He's not just a movie star.
All right. Our next question. So Jason, what episode do you wish you could do over again?
You know what? I had to choose two.
Okay.
The first one for me,
uh-huh.
because this is where I get very self-critical. I'm my own worst critic. Risky Business was my first one because I dropped the F-bomb way, way too many times in that one. And I want to apologize to the listeners once again. I think I caught myself about three quarters of the way in the podcast, mm-hmm. but I was just dropping way, way too many F-bombs. So I just didn't like me. And then my other episode I wish I could do over again, to be completely honest, is Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Because again, just being self-critical, I think I got tired. I think I ran out of gas on that one. And it's really one of my all-time favorites, man. I just adore that movie. And I just feel like I didn't bring my A game. It was one of those when it was over, I was like, I don't feel great about that performance on my behalf. And I didn't tell my story about how doing a Captain Kirk impression got me on the new dating game show, Chuck Woolery. I know.
You left that? Then see, that would have been...
I didn't.
Well, that's right? True. I knew you were on the show, but... All right, you got to tell the story now.
Yeah, so long story short, I would love doing my Captain Kirk, still old friend. Managed to kill just about everyone else, but like a poor marksman, you keep missing the target. Bones. So the thing is that Ewan Middlebrooks and myself, I'll never forget this, we were at the Burbank Bar and Grill, kind of sitting back in the corner, and somebody came by with a clipboard and said, hey, would you want to be on TV? Do you want to be on the new dating game hosted by Chuck Woolery? And we're like, yeah, sure. What do we got to do? And we just sign up here. And like, yeah, put down your name and number. And they called us and we had to go into, it was on some back lot or something, but we went into a room and there was just a bunch of dudes hanging out. This was unbeknownst to us, kind of a mini audition. And they just wanted to put you on tape. So they wanted to put you on video and share a little bit about yourself, tell a funny story, et cetera. And I said, and it had to relate to love, let's say, a kind of a dating story, right? Because we're mm-hmm. trying to get on the dating game show. So a dating experience. So I decided to tell a story about how one Halloween that I dressed up as Captain Kirk, slicked my hair back, parted it to the side, just like he does. I had one of Brian Sears, my roommate at the time, had one of the communicators from Star Trek, the tricorder.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I had one of those and I went on a date with a girl and I did my Kirk impression the entire night with her just to prove that Kirk can doing even just doing an impression of Captain and Kirk can get you the ladies. Mm-hmm. And so when I stood up to tell the story, the woman behind the camera, I think, said, okay, well, now you have to tell the entire story of that Halloween night, that date that you went on as Captain Kirk in the Captain Kirk voice, using the Captain Kirk voice. So I did the entire story doing the impression, and it went over well enough that I ended up getting on the show, and I was one of the three bachelors, and I ended up winning the show. Yeah. The girl chose me, and I never went on a date with her. Funny enough. Oh, God. Which was that's another story. But anyway, so yeah.
Do you remember Captain the girl's Kirk. Name?
Charlotte.
Oh, it's funny. It's my mom's name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. I knew you were on the show. I knew you got picked, but yeah, I didn't know the audition process.
So and I cool. have that episode on VHS still somewhere.
Oh shit!
Yeah, it's very funny.
I gotta see it.
I don't think I've seen it. It's a lifetime ago. Yeah, I think it's on the same VHS tape as my Judge Judy episode. another story for another time. So. My choice, if I could do an episode over again, I would do Risky Business and Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Those are my choices off the top. What about you, Bill Bant? What would you do over again?
For me, it would be our second episode, Romancing the Stone.
Oh, okay.
Because originally, Romancing the Stone was going to be our initial.
Right.
When we had talked about this the first time. And you and I had actually watched that movie together.
Yeah, before. Yeah, way before.
Yeah, it's probably the last movie we've the two of us has actually seen together because of everything that's been going on
that's
since.
That's true.
And then I just remember, I think it was because we were so excited we got the first one under our belt that there just felt something off about that show. And I remember I cut the crap out of that one. I just remember just not liking anything about it and just like, oh, I don't even know if I want to. I remember almost calling you and going, can we do this one again? Because I was so disappointed with it. And I really wanted to work because for me, Romancing the Stone was one of those great 80s movies that no one talks about. And I wanted to make sure I got the love it deserved. And right. then I was like, oh, I botched it. Yeah, that would be mine. That's the one I'm like, you can kind of avoid that one. You know, if I'm telling right. people about it, I'm like, yeah, you can miss that one.
That's interesting. And I totally get it. I get it. Because you say, did I show it enough? Love, did it give it the love that it deserved? And that's how I felt about Star Trek II, where afterwards, like, oh, will the audience understand how much I love this movie? And did I make enough good points? Did I cover all the reasons why I'm so invested in this particular film? And they don't care, but I care. That's how passionate I get. So I understand Romancing the Stone. I remember my sister listened to that and she really enjoyed it. I was like, oh, good. Thanks for listening. We were going through some growing pains in the beginning right. too. That was it. The modulation issues.
Yeah.
And that was more of an internet connection problem. As I remember trying to steal the Wi-Fi from a Marriott hotel in some neighboring town in my car. We were doing, I don't know if we were doing a rehearsal pod, I was going to do something as I had my laptop in my car. I drove somewhere to get the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And I was going to do it from inside my car. Didn't work out so well. Had very weak connection. But yeah, but we got over it. We got past it. We figured it out. I got a new laptop and better Wi-Fi connection.
There you go. So some good came out of it.
Right. All right. Are we moving on to our final question?
Yes. Yeah. What was the most interesting thing you learned about podcasting?
Gosh, I couldn't just pick one. So here's the deal. Podcasting is a blast, ladies and gentlemen. It's a blast when recording. It's a bitch when editing. I wouldn't know about the editing because I don't edit. Bill is the executive producer. He does all the editing. Thank you, Bill Bant. But probably, you know what, the amount of and dedication to the self-promotion marketing it requires to build a fan base is one of the most interesting things I've learned, how much time it's going to take. And we knew going into this that it would take time to build that fan base, but having a presence on the socials daily is work and it's time consuming. And thankfully, once again, Bill does almost all of it. On a positive note, One of the most interesting things I've learned is just simply how inclusive the podcasting community is. There is no competition between podcasts and or podcasters, really. I mean, it's all about the love and support between casters, because you quickly realize there are enough listeners to go around. We don't have to compete for listeners. The average podcast listener doesn't only listen to one podcast. They're more like, you know, they more likely have a few or a handful of go-tos and favorites, just like myself. So it's awesome to see how much love podcasters give to one another, especially on Twitter, because we are all in this together, and we hope to return the love as much as we can in the future and this upcoming season. And lastly, just engaging with the audience, like engaging with other podcasters, the fans of our pod or fans of 80s movies, fans of movies in general, is a blast. We want to engage with you out there to keep the discussion going about what makes 80s movies so great. And we want to continue to hear from you. So give us your feedback, and let's just let's keep talking about one of the freshest decades in cinema, the 1980s. Lastly, you know, it is fun to like look at the stats when you're doing podcasting. It's interesting to see like how the ebb and flow of what people seem to like to listen to. So,
or where they're listening from. That's crazy too.
There you go. Yeah.
Just the fact that other countries find your show and listen to it. That's crazy to me. That I'm like, what? How'd you even find this?
Somebody in France.
Yeah, we said this.
And one person in Jamaica.
Yeah. One person in Jamaica just put us over the top there. But yeah, I would agree to the community with it too, because I really thought this would be more of a cutthroat, ultra competitive thing. Because there's literally millions of podcasts out there.
It's grown exponentially. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's it with questions. So season two, man. Season two is coming up.
Yeah, you know, it's been an honor and a privilege to share the podcasting experience with you thus far, my friend, my brother. You are a scholar and a gentleman. I appreciate all your hard work, due diligence, and your passion, Bill Bant. And I am really looking forward to another season of discussing purely awesome 80s movies. Did you want to share a little bit of what we have in store for people, or are we going to save it?
I mean, we could talk a little bit about it.
Tune in for our, you know, to our season two promo.
That's true. We'll be bringing back the, you know, summer at the cinema during the month of July. And because July has five Fridays, so we'll be doing five movies / cinema month. We'll be back. We're going to do a like back to school month in September. So all the movies will be dealing with school, because you know how much we love those. Looking at having some guests this year.
To come
on the show. So that'd be kind of fun to have some people on also. So you don't have to listen to just the two of us all year long. But yeah, we're going to go hard. I know last year we kind of took holidays off, so we'll either do a movie or we'll do like a mini-sode. So from when we start the season on February 11th all the way to the end of the year, we're doing episodes.
That's right, because that's one other thing we've learned, Bill Band. Mm-hmm. Consistency is key.
Yes.
Consistency.
Yes. I mean, there's been times where I'm editing at like 6 a.m. and then the episode 2 hours later, but that's fine. But I know incredible. I know our listeners want it.
And yeah, spoiler alert, we at some point throughout season two, we don't know when, we might just do Grease 2. We might do Grease 2. And the reason why we're going to do Grease 2 is mostly because if we don't, Hillary will kill Bant. Kill Bill Bant, I should say, her husband, my co-host. And we can't have that. So otherwise, I'll be doing this podcast solo and it just won't work.
Yes, you'll be doing season three by yourself. doing auditions.
Looking forward to season two, man. Can't wait.
You know, we're kind of trying to figure out most of the season, but of course, if there's any movies that you guys want us to talk about, please let us know. Email us, tweet us. We'll definitely put it into the suggestion box and hopefully get around to it. Because I know people ask me all the time, like, when are you going to do such and such movie? When are you going to do such and such movie? I'm like,
oh yeah,
there's thousands of movies and we're only doing one a week. So We're trying to get to as many as we can.
But we've done the math. We've done the math. And even if we did, I don't know, I mean, like 52 weeks in a year. And if we did 52 movies a year, we'd still, there are enough films that came out in the 1980s that we'd be doing this for at least
the next decade. And we'd still be
10 plus years or so.
I mean, you can't scratch on the surface. Yeah. So, yeah, I know. I just like the way people ask, like, you know, like, do it next week. I'm like, we already got that scheduled, or that's already recorded. What we got next week. But no, we appreciate the suggestions and
it's take awesome
into account. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, we'll probably be doing at least another 40 films this upcoming year. Yeah, some fun ones. We try to do a little bit of everything as usual. So we just hope you enjoy the ride.
Yeah, we're going to mix it up a little bit. And as Bill said, hopefully we're going to get some guests on, hopefully some surprise guests in there as well. But we're just going to continue to get better and hopefully bring you a better product. So thanks for listening, everybody.
All right. So, I guess that wraps it up for this week's minisode. Wraps it up for season one. Thank you so much for listening. We will be starting season two of the All 80s Movies podcast on February 11th. Our first episode will be the 1985 blockbuster Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Starring Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd, and Leah Thompson. As always, please subscribe, give us a review, and rate us. You can email us at all80smoviespodcast@gmail.com. Please send us your feedback, questions, or recipes to share. I will start sharing these recipes at some point. I always ask for them, and then I never post any of them. So that'll be something new in season two. We'll be posting some recipes. You can follow us on Facebook at All 80s Movies Podcast or tweet us at Podcast All 80s. Until then, have a totally great week, everyone.
Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, world.